Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show.
If this is the very first time you've tuned in, my name is Dr. Daniel Hopp, your host. And I want to remind you as we get started that today is a great day because it is the day that the Lord has made for you. And on this day, we are continuing a conversation about the phenomenal family. Today, when we look into our world today, we see that there are so many opportunities for us as families to do it right or to do it bad. But I tell you, with God's wisdom, we're able to build a legacy in families that will last for generations. And this is what God's calling us as kingdom citizens to accomplish, because we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. The God has ordained to show forth his praise through the way that we live our lives. Our lives is an instrument to exercise God's witness. And this is why we're in the planet as Jesus' ambassadors, to bring forth a witness that will honor the integrity of the King. And today, I've invited Pastor Billy Stanford to talk with us about the family mountain in our society today and how it is that our families are affected and are able to affect culture by the way we live for God and keep God's laws. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show, Pastor Billy Stanford. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Dr. Hubbard. It's really good to be with you and share kingdom business.
Amen. Well, one thing I love about you is your confidence and your integrity and the grace of God in your life. And I was wondering about your story about your family. What's the unique story of your family? How did you come up, and what was it unique about your family strengths or limitation that you believe shape your life today?
I had a mom and dad in the home, and I just didn't have a mom and dad. I had a mom and dad who loved God. You know, my dad was a hardworking man, and my mom and dad worked really hard to instill Christian values in us. They worked really hard to make sure that we would be productive young men and women in society. And I spent a lot of time with my dad, a lot of time with my mom. So I got to see, you know, how a wife interacts with her husband and how a husband interacts with his wife. My dad taught me how to work and take care of the home and things of that nature. And so my upbringing, that orientation, you know, that foundation has played a major role, along with the grace of God, of course, in shaping me into being the husband and the father and the friend and the pastor that I am today.
Wow. Well, that's very important that we understand that that families are a tremendous foundation. It's the basic unit of society that God has created to enable us to call out the fullness of the calling that he's based on our lives. But even though you were brought up in a godly family, you were brought up with a mom and a dad, you have a unique story where what they put in you did call you back, but you left that, which was the principle of your household. Tell our listeners about that so families can understand that most of the times, you know, even the best families get off track from time to time because of the elements around them, just like an airplane in flight. But when that family has a pilot and that's going by the flight plan and also he's listening to the tower, you know, that a family can get back on course, because this is a natural phenomenon of families that we need to be aware of. So tell us that part of your story where, yes, you were brought up by godly parents, but, yes, you had an experience in your life where you went from that track, but God brought you back.
Absolutely. Yes, the stuff that I went through in my early 20s was not indicative of my upbringing. Children are responsible for their own decisions, you know, once you get over to the age of accountability. And so I started making dumb decisions. You know, I started hanging out with people and friending people who were not headed in the right direction. And that negatively impacted my life. And I end up basically living a life that was totally contrary to the things that were instilled in me as a child. And I became a major drug dealer in Baltimore. I became a person that I was not raised to be, a person that God never created me to be. And in most cases, when you look at the predicament in our communities and the violence and the chaos that we see amongst our young people, yes, a large percentage of this is because of broken families. These kids don't have no family stability. But I had that. And so my story is a little different in a sense that I just started making irresponsible decisions, and through being shot up and face-to-face with death and having to do time in federal prison, God began to just flash my life before me. Mm-hmm. And I was able to, you know, through the grace of God, reconnect with my identity in God. But I have to say that, I want to say that this is important. On the day I got released from federal prison, five others got released. They say the recidivism rate to federal prison is 85%. That means four of us were supposed to come back. But I had a made up mind that I wasn't going to go back. Not only did I have a relationship with God, and I knew God was ordering my steps, I had a family to come back to. For me to fail would be me just making those dumb decisions all over again, where some people, after going through what I went through, they don't have a family to come back to. So I had a mother and father, you know, my sister and brother who are pastors. I had family support, and that really undergirded me along with my faith in God.
Wow. Well, family is a tremendous cure that God's given society. And, I mean, I'm talking about people that are godly and even the ungodly families. That invention of family was designed by God, and God has said that he had chosen Abraham for that very reason, because he knew Abraham would train up his children in the way they would go, and that they would depart. In fact, I want to read the verse. It says in Genesis 18:19, "For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he had promised." And what we must understand that in families, that visionary role of a father, you know, and the parent, releasing patterns and principles in the lives of their children has the power to save them and deliver them. And you said that you had the safety net of a family when you came out, which is really important for many people to understand whose sons and daughters have gotten caught up in the system, that they need an environment that's safe and protective and nurturing to come back to break the curse of the cycle, because the system today is a present-day plantation designed to have the ingenuity to bring those four back that you were talking about. But yet you were able to overcome that because of the blood of Jesus working in your life, but also just the wisdom of your family. And I would like to talk about what are the models that you see in the Bible of families that have inspired you and showed you wisdom about how to pattern your family. And let's take a destiny break right here, and I'll give you a moment to think on that, and let's talk about, you know, what is it that the models that God's put before us, because these precepts are very important for us to draw from. We'll be right back.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and bold by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at yicenter.com. That's yicenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show. Our vision here is to bring you the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture so that you can be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you. For we are ordained to be royal priesthood, a holy nation that will show forth the praises of God. And it's through the testimonies of the word of God and God's people that we're able to be strengthened to walk in that purpose and calling God has placed upon our lives. And we are blessed to have as a guest today on the Voice of Destiny show, Pastor Billy Stanfill, who is an anointed pastor and prophet and entrepreneur that God uses. And Pastor Billy, I was asking you, will you please share with us your family's, not your family story, but your favorite families in the Bibles and the lessons that you learned from them that has helped you in parenting your family and walking in what God's called you to do as a pastor?
Well, let's bring it to the now. When you understand our present zeitgeist and our present culture, we have families that are not structured the way the Bible would intend them to be structured, but nonetheless, there are stories of families in the Bible that can help people to relate a family structure, where you may have a family where the mom has children by different men.
Mm-hmm.
And so the siblings don't have the same it's common in our culture. So that helps me to relate to the story of Joseph. There's a lot of lessons in the story of Joseph, because Joseph had a very diverse family. He had brothers. They had the same father, but all of them had different mothers. And we see a lot of the dysfunction that happened in Joseph's family. We learn from Jacob's mistakes of showing favoritism. You know, he showed favoritism to Joseph. He really did. And we see that how that family dysfunction there caused them to sell their brother into slavery. Now, we know that God was at work in Joseph's life, but we still can't ignore some of those parenting principles there that is important to make all of our children know that they are special in God. And I know we don't like to say that we have a favorite, but we should never express that. We should not show differences amongst our children. Also, when you think about how Jesus Christ was raised, when you think about a lot of the young kids today who don't really know who their biological fathers are, okay, we're talking about that. We know that that Mary was conceived by the Holy Ghost. But let's really put ourselves in that situation there. Here is Joseph being engaged to Mary. Mary comes up pregnant before Joseph touched her. And Joseph had to believe the word of the Lord that what was in her was of the Holy Ghost and that she did not step out. And so Joseph actually was Jesus' stepfather, but he raised him as his own. This is a real situation in our communities today where a lot of these young people don't know who their biological father is, and their mom could be dating someone else or married to someone else, and these men need to take these children in just as they own, just as Joseph did for Jesus. Yes. You know, the Bible says that Joseph named Jesus. Joseph was a carpenter. Jesus was a carpenter. So we can see how the Father influenced even Jesus' life. Now, we know that Jesus is the Son of God, but God also picked the earthly example to guide and mature his Son. So that lets us know that even though some of these young boys and young women may not know their biological dads, if the men that are in these women's lives would bring them in as their own and follow the example of Joseph, maybe we wouldn't have as much dysfunction amongst our youth today and not knowing their identity.
Yeah, and it's a great trust for us men and our society and in the kingdom of God to recognize our influence and our impartation on the young men that are coming up. It's a great trust that God puts inside of us, those of us that have our own children and those that have children around us. And it's very important. I have a spiritual son who I just discovered after years of fathering him, he's just like 3 years younger than me. And I would always wonder, even if I was in the same room with his physical father, he would say dad, you know, and he would be referring to me and letting, you know, me know. And his dad didn't have a problem with it because his dad recognized that I was fathering him spiritually. But a man, now a grown man, still calling me dad because he's drawing on the need that we all men have for someone to influence us, to mature us, to impart to us. And I got to tell you, you know, coming up, and I have a good relationship with my father, but my father was in special forces. He was absent away from the home because of his occupation a lot of times, and I constantly looked around for godly men, you know, men who could show me the way and show me the pattern. And I didn't really fully realize this. And one day I was sitting down with my son, and he said, "Dad, can you show me how to run my checkbook? How do I use a check? And how do I fill the check out? How do I use that?" And a memory came to me that my dad was never there to show me these kind of things. And I began to appreciate the great trust that's inside of us of imparting the spiritual things to our sons. And I'm talking about the sons that are around us in our atmosphere, but also the practical things, because these are the things that shape their manhood. You know, I have five sisters, and I tell them, you know, that a woman can raise up a gentleman who keeps the laws, come to church, maybe come to Jesus, but a woman cannot teach a boy to be a man. Only a man can do that. Not that you can't parent him and be a good parent to him, but it's very important that we in our culture, kingdom culture, that we're sensitive to the great trust and the great responsibility that men have in raising up men and reproducing men in our society, so that our culture would know the kingdom-centric manhood that God wants them to know, so they can come to Christ. For you, do you think that this role of manhood needs to be more developed in our culture? And what would you think that we need to do to help men to be better men, reproducing after their own kind?
Well, first of all, we have to understand what the Bible says about the male or man and what the world depicts about a male or a man. So, you know, we have developed these paradigms in our mind based on these images that are kind of fed to us through media, through society, and also what we've developed from not, in most cases, having real godly men in our lives. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a great responsibility of the church, that the men in the mm-hmm. church who really know God, that we begin to go outside to, first of all, making sure that the young men that are in the church are all covered and have mentors in their lives, mm-hmm. people who connect with them and reaching out to them and willing to get engaged with them. And then we want to take that model out to the community. That is something that's lacking. You know, the church is the light of the world. The church is the salt of the earth. And, yes, I believe that is the role of the church to target this dysfunctional aspect of our society and begin to instill and introduce the kingdom agenda and the kingdom principles. But it's going to take godly men knowing who they are in God, willing to step out of their comfort of me, my four, no more, and realize that we all have a responsibility to reach one and to teach one. The Bible's clear on that. Wasn't this the ministry of John the Baptist to turn the hearts, right, of the mm-hmm. fathers to the children and the children to the fathers? And when we look at this now, not just the fathers, when we look at now how young people are disengaged with adults, yes. That is a trick of the enemy, because the Bible says what, man of God, it says that the fathers know the way, but the children are strong, so we need each other. And so that disconnect there, it places the children in a place, or it places them or directs them in a paradigm where they will fall into the traps of the enemy because they are disengaged from the wisdom that we're able to pour. So we have to work on repairing those bridges, so that we can start influencing our young people again, influencing our children, instead of them being influenced by the enemy.
Wow. Well, it's important that we understand God has a destiny design for fathers and sons and for families. You know, when we understand that God had an ideal, and we look in Scripture, and as you were saying, that there are all kind of examples in the Bible of families, but all of them are not the ideal of Adam and Eve. But when we look at the story of Abraham and Solomon, and we look at Jacob, and we look at all these stories and the Joseph and Mary family, we see that there are dynamics that's not consistent with that ideal. But yet God used that system of that family to bring those children into God's divine purpose for their lives. So let's take a break right here, Pastor Billy, and let's come back and give our families the best strategy for parenting and fathering that we can pass on to them, so that this great legacy of our priesthood, of parenting our children, will be able to be passed on from one generation to the next. We'll be right back.
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a distinguished monthly voice partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them. You too can become a monthly voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And register today as a monthly voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Malachi 4:6 says that he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This business about building families is very serious business. See, families are the mountain of influence, the mind-molding institution in society that establishes the identity in an individual. It is a safety net that God has put there for every family. It doesn't matter what kind of culture it is, whether it's a democratic culture, a communist culture. It is the network, the net of that family is the foundation that God uses to impart the identity of individuals. And all of us can trace who we are back to the family that we came from. Even though those of us didn't have any family, we can see from genetic patterns of our life, the way we do things, the way we hold the cup, the way that we perceive the world comes from the elements of that family of origin that we came through. And so we were talking about this whole power of families and the role of fathers and the role of parenting in the lives of our children. What are some of the best advice, Pastor Billy, will you give to believers about the role of family and positioning their family to be, do, and have everything that God's destined for them?
Well, I would say that the success of the family also starts with we as individuals knowing who we are.
Mm.
I want to go back to something in the beginning that first, you know, Adam knew his purpose. He had a relationship with God. He had a job.
Mm. Yes.
So the male knew his responsibility, he had a relationship with God, he knew his purpose in the earth, and Adam was busy doing the work of the Lord. It wasn't Adam that said he needed a wife or needed a helpmate. God said it. And so with that said is, I believe that individuals have to be content with themselves before they come and say we want to get married. I think a lot of people get married before they understand what it truly means to be single.
Yeah.
When we say single in the earth, most people denote that to being alone or being by yourself, or they denote it to a curse. Well, as long as there's other human beings, you're not by yourself, you're not alone. Single means that you are complete, you know who you are in God, and you are complete with yourself in God. I have counseled many people that I refused to marry because I didn't believe they were single. And if they had gotten married, they would have gotten married with putting unfair demands on the other person to fulfill certain insecurities within themselves. Only God can fill those voids in our heart. So first, we have to stop rushing people into marriage and stop marrying anybody and help people to really understand what marriage is and that it's going to take two whole people coming together, trusting God, to create a successful family. Now,
Yeah, I want to say, Pastor Billy, a lot of people get married to find themselves. They get married to discover purpose instead of having purpose established beforehand. And they go into marriage as a half of a person, and the other person is a half of a person. Think there's going to be a whole person, but they actually have still two half people. And so this whole idea of moving things from that destiny is very essential for those that are in the process of seeking marriage or pre-marriage counseling. Just look at the inventory of is really purpose established. So that's a really good point. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Right. Because, you know, we have to establish that. You know, we've been taught that purpose is the true intent of a thing, and we believe that. God instituted whatever he instituted to get an intended result. And if we don't follow God's pattern, even, in our development stages, and we get married, like you say, not knowing our purpose, then that's a disaster waiting to happen. And then if you have children, now the children are being exposed to two dysfunctional parents. You know, dad yelling at mom, mom yelling at dad. Right. And so I think moving forward, we have to get back to the kingdom mandate. We really have to first begin to help people to understand what God's purpose is for their lives. Let's really teach the word on what the purpose is for marriage, and so that people can understand what it's going to take before they get married to have a successful marriage. And for families who are already married and they could be experiencing this type of dysfunction where it's two half people, the good thing is we have the grace of God. You know, and if we're really willing to step back and say, God, you know, we messed up, but we need your help. We want to do this right. You want to get yourself connected to a Bible-believing church. Begin to spend time in your Bible and ask God to really help you. And he will intervene in that situation and begin to help the husband and help that wife. Too often, the wife trying to fix the husband and the husband trying to fix the wife, well, we need to be concerned with God fixing us individually. Because the success of the family is totally linked to, I believe, whole people. I believe whole marriages that derives from two whole people also produce whole children. because the principles and the foundation and what the children are going to see operating in that household is going to help them to mature and develop emotionally, which will in turn cause them to be balanced individuals and things of that nature.
Wow.
And I'm not saying this is, you know, I'm just.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, you know, there's a magic wand to this, but I just believe that God's word is true. And if we stick to his word, and I'm not talking about religion, I'm talking about really teaching from the word of God, his principles and not ours. I believe that we can begin to heal the family. And if we begin to heal the family, we can heal our communities. We heal our communities, we can heal our state, and so on and so on.
Yeah. Well, Genesis tells us that the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. Their man had a driving purpose for his life, and a lot of times we don't realize how deformative our family structures are because of that lack of purpose. And when we go back and revisit that God's design, it helps us to understand something very important about families, and that is the time and the season of a family. You know, Ecclesiastes tells us a time and season for everything. And when your family, a lot of times young people get started and they want to live in the big house that their parents lived in. It took their parents 20, 30 years to get to that house. But they don't not understanding the season that they're in right now. But yes, God could do that for them. But also, God is sensitive to the times and the seasons of a thing. And when your family understands a time and a season for its origination, we can manage our present circumstances in a more wiser, in a more balanced way that I believe that will really, really, really change lives and help us to harness the power of our circumstances. I wanted to input what you were saying about that purpose of family. It kind of sticks with me that we have to have that cornerstone to begin to build around the manifestation of what God wants for our particular family. I'm sorry. Go ahead and continue.
Yeah, absolutely, Doc. You know, the success of the family is totally linked to the success of any, you know, civilization. Mm-hmm. The failure of the family is totally linked to the failure of that civilization. Mm-hmm. And so we have to, as the people of God, we have to look at the core issues of why the divorce rate in the church is higher than in the world. Mm-hmm. Because, see, if the church is the light of the world, that means that the morality of our society cannot arise above that of the church. If marriages mm-hmm. are dysfunctional in the church, then they're going to be dysfunctional in the community. Because Absolutely. Believe it or not, we are leading the way. Because mm-hmm. no matter how people try to box the church into the corner, the Lord said we're the light of the earth and the salt of the light of the world and the salt of the earth. That never changes. So the example that we are setting as the people of God is totally influencing our culture.
Wow.
And we really need to take a look at that.
Well, I got to tell you that God is still in the business of building families. He just doesn't want a relationship with individuals. He wants a relationship with the whole family. This is a covenant promise of the New Testament believer that, you know, our house, me and our house, we're able to save the Lord. God wants to save us and our whole family, and this is God's promise for us. And so those of you that are listening, I want you to begin to pray. As my wife would always say, push. Pray until something happens concerning your family, because prophetically we're in an hour where God wants to take your family where your family's never been before. He wants your family to be more than your family's ever been before. This is why we have these conversations, to help you, wherever you are right now, to pack up your family from that place of mediocrity and move your family north of average so that you can fulfill the authentic will, the plan, and the purposes of God on your family's life. We invite you to connect with us at voiceofdestiny.org and let us know how we can be praying for your family. Your family is on God's heart. It's essential to God's plan that your family become everything that God has ordained for you. And I want to thank Pastor Billy for joining us today with this conversation. Pastor Billy, which is the website for your church? Let us know where you're located in Pennsylvania for those of our listeners that's in the Pennsylvania area can come and be a part of the atmosphere that God's raised up.
Okay, our church is located in York, Pennsylvania. We're in the Gabriel Plaza Shopping Center. It's exit 1883 North, exit 18 off 83 North. The address is 1238 Green Springs Drive in York, PA, 1238 Green Springs Drive in York, PA. Our service times are 10:30. And for more information about our ministry, you can reach us on the web at www.faithleads.org. That's faithleads, FAITHLEADS.org, www.faithleads.org. We welcome you. We're a spirit-filled ministry. We believe in the love of God, the power of God. We believe in family. We believe the Bible still works. So if you're in the York, PA area, stop by to see us. We promise you that you will be encountered with God.
Well, brothers and sisters, remember today is a great day because it's the day the Lord has made for you. This message of Kingdom Culture is available to you 24/7 on Voice of Destiny Online. That's Voice of Destiny Online, and have a great day. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Pastor Daniel Huff. Remember, Kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.